Sign, sign, everywhere's a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? The song named Signs, written by Les Emerson, performed by the five-man electrical band in the early 70s, really has some inspired lyrics. Not inspired in the same way as the Gospel of John is inspired, but still words that hit home with us 50 years later. Words about signs, their purpose, how they are misused and ignored. Long before Les Emerson and the five-man electrical band, God commissioned the Apostle John to write about signs also. He writes in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." In the Gospel of John, the Apostle records seven signs Jesus performs during his ministry. The first one is recorded in John chapter 2 and is the wedding at Cana and the turning of water into wine. Jesus, his mother, and his disciples are invited to a wedding. And at some point during the wedding, the wine runs out. Mary, the mother of Jesus, tells Jesus about the issue, in which he rebukes her, saying, "Woman, what has this got to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Mary, seemingly ignoring his response, tells the servant to do whatever he tells them. Jesus tells the servants to fill up seven stone jars with water. And when they draw some of the water out and take it to the master of the feast, it is the best wine that he has ever tasted. The narrative ends with these words, "This, the first of the signs Jesus does at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." The second, the third, and the sixth signs Jesus performs all have to do with healing. In chapter 4 of John, Jesus heals the official's son, who is at the verge of death. In this miracle, the official asked Jesus to intervene, to come and heal his son. Jesus responds that unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He then says, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way, and he was met by his servants with the news that his son had recovered. Right after this, in John chapter 5, Jesus heals the man lame for 38 years. The man had laid beside the pool at Bethesda all this time, hoping for healing, never able to get to the pool just at the right time to get healed. Jesus asked him a simple question. "Do you want to be healed?" And then he says, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed. He takes up his bed and he walks. The last healing miracle of the three, the sixth sign, is the healing of the man born blind. This narrative from chapter 9 is quite a bit longer than the previous ones. Jesus comes across this blind man, makes mud from dirt and his spit, and anoints the man's eyes and has him go wash in the pool of Siloam. The blind man comes back seeing. The Pharisees then get involved in what has the smell of an official inquiry because Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath. After repeated interrogation of both the man and his parents, the man gets kicked out of the synagogue after insinuating that the Pharisees are actually interested in becoming a disciple of Jesus also. Jesus finds the man and confirms his confession of faith in the Son of Man and says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may see become blind. This passes judgment on the Pharisees who were listening to Jesus' words to the former blind man. So they ask, "Are we also blind?" Jesus says to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." The fourth and fifth signs are both from John chapter 6. And both are well-known miracles, ones that we've learned in Sunday school. The fourth is the feeding of the 5,000. Now, the crowds have been following Jesus because they had saw signs and he was healing their sick. But it had been days and they were hungry as their food supply had run out by now. Jesus tells the disciples to feed them, but they have no food for this many people and not enough money or places to buy it. But they did manage to scrape together 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish from a little boy. So Jesus has the people sit down, and he takes the loaves, gives thanks, and distributes them to all who were seated. He does the same with the fish. Then he has the disciples gather up the leftovers, which fills 12 baskets. The fifth sign is Jesus walks on water, and is only 5 verses in the Gospel of John. The disciples were in the boat alone at night, and were crossing the Sea of Galilee to get from the grassy area and the feeding of the 5,000 across the lake to Capernaum. The sea had become very rough, and a strong wind had came up. A great storm was brewing. The disciples weren't making great headway and were getting exhausted when suddenly they see Jesus walking towards them on the waves. They were terrified as if they were seeing a ghost. But he says to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." And they were glad when he entered with them into the boat. And just like that, they were at land to the place they were going. The last sign, the seventh in John's Gospel, is the raising of Lazarus. This should be pretty familiar to us as it was just in our gospel reading a few weeks ago. This is the longest in the sign narratives in John and is most of chapter 11. Lazarus is sick and he dies before Jesus visits as Jesus intentionally delays his coming so that Lazarus' death might bring glory to God. This section also includes the shortest verse in the English Bible, Jesus wept, but also one that is not short on possible meanings. As the sisters, Jesus, and the mourners gather around the tomb, Jesus asks for the stone to be removed. This understandably causes some hesitation, for the brother has been dead now 4 days. Jesus says to them, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" After praying, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen cloths, and his face wrapped with a linen strip. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. 7 signs, 7 miracles creating faith. Incredibly, Jesus rising from the dead wasn't one of them. Yet exactly what Jesus rising from the dead did for many, including the Apostle Thomas from the Gospel reading. Thomas saw and believed and utters the greatest confession of faith, "My Lord and my God." This is an example of exactly what the last 2 verses in our Gospel reading are talking about, signs creating faith. Many would argue that Thomas already had faith. Was he not the one in the narrative of the raising of Lazarus that said, "Let us also go, that we may die with him"? Or the one in the upper room that asked the question, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And this prompts Jesus' response, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Yet Thomas questions Jesus rising from the dead, needs seeing, needs not only seeing, but physical, hands-on proof that Jesus is alive, risen from the dead. That just proves that even the best of us need restoration. Thomas needed it. Peter needed it. "I'll never deny you," Peter claims. Yet the rooster crowed witness against him. Are we any better? I dare say we are not. Jesus tells Thomas after his great confession, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." As strange as it sounds, we are the blessed because we haven't seen Jesus face to face. But we don't do it on our own. We start with the sign of baptism, a miracle in which God unites water and the Word. And that creates faith in us. The Holy Spirit sustains that faith using means, Word and sacraments. The Word is a sign that is something so simple, but yet it creates faith in us. And through that faith, it feeds our souls. And then you take the sacrament of Holy Communion, where God uses simple elements, bread and wine, and in the context of the worship services, unites them with his body and his blood, a sign, a miracle that strengthens our faith, forgives our sins, giving us everlasting life, restoring us to serve him on this earth. In John chapter 6, the crowd asks Jesus, "What must we do to be doing the work of God?" Jesus answers them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." They said to him, What sign do you do that we may believe, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." We have this bread, our Savior Jesus Christ, to eat right here, right now. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. This is the sign. This is your restoration. Come, gather at the table. All things are ready. Come and believe. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen.